West Tigers fans, another home game as the boys head out west to Campbelltown again as we take on the Brisbane Broncos. Let's preview that game on the West Life podcast. Welcome in to another episode of the West Life Podcast. I am your host, Josh Barnett. Please give us a follow at West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We are presented, as always, by Holman Barnes Group, the best place to watch the game live and loud on the big screen on Saturday afternoon. If you're not heading out to Campbelltown, head to West Ashfield to watch the game and have a succulent Chinese meal or wood fire pizza. Shouts to all our loyal YouTube tunerinners coming in for another live on a Tuesday night this week. We apologize, but just with obviously Anzac Day on Thursday, we thought we'd go Tuesday. That way you got a Wednesday work day to head in the long weekend with an extra podcast. If you missed last night's show, we broke down the Panthers game, so be sure to check that one out as well. Plenty of things said, obviously, about the lack of a sin bin in that game. So check that one out if you haven't already, or pause this show and go. But if you listen back to this, I mean, what are you doing? Go back and listen to that one first and listen to this one afterwards. Patreon.com/Westlife if you'd like to support our show and any of the stuff that we do, then you can find the Linktree link in our Instagram or Twitter, or just go to westtigers.com.au. And let's go to the fellas. Let's go to Roberto Bechara coming in.
Did we just lose Josh?
Yeah, we lost the phone version of Josh.
Well, I'll say good evening to everyone. I hope you're all well. Quick backup from last night, obviously. So we'll be discussing the preview, the changes to both teams. You won't believe who the referee is this week. So it should be an interesting pod. I guess you were pretty shocked today too, Aaron, when you saw a couple of names missing from the Broncos and who the referee was.
Yeah, g'day everyone. It was not a pleasant read seeing the Broncos team lists and all their ins and the couple of outs they have as an attempt to compensate for them. And a lot of anger when I saw the referee named for our game. I can't believe a referee that did such a poor job for us in one position is given a new position in our next game. So it's a bit of a strange one.
It feels like he's almost got a promotion instead of just being relegated. I hear Ashley Klein's been stood down from any refereeing duties this week. I would have thought Grant Atkins would have been the first one. That was an absolute howler. And I know they went off after we did the pod last night. I flicked it onto 100% footy, and Paul Gallen was absolutely ripping in. So was Gus, to the point where Gus said they look for penalties, they look for stupid decisions on all sorts of rulings, but then the bleeding obvious they ignore, like that sin bin last Saturday afternoon in Bathurst.
Yeah, it's a strange one. Like,
can you guys hear me?
We got you now. Yeah, you dropped out, mate. So.
Yeah, I think my mic was so. For those who didn't realize last night, I'm trying with the new camera. I've got the camera going through one end and the mic in the other, and I literally, as I moved my arm, I kicked my the connection out. So going good. Hope it's not an omen for the footy on the weekend. I hope the boys don't fuck up as much as I just did. So
we'll let you can hear podcast, mate. It's all good. That's all good. You can come back and join us.
No need to intro the boys. They've grabbed the ball and run with it beautifully there. So, let's get into it. As I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're not heading out to Campbelltown and you would like to watch it on a big screen with a hell of a lot of West Tigers fans, there's no better place than West Ashfield. The screen is massive, massive cinema size. Brand new Italian restaurant, brand new Chinese restaurant. Check them out. our commenter of the week yesterday. Who was it? Do you guys remember off the top of your head who
it was? Ben.
Ben, if you're listening, mate, contact us. We can pass on your details because you have a $50 dining voucher that'll be waiting for you at West Ashfield as well. So thank you again for them supporting us and handing us a $50 voucher. So keep an eye out for the player voting form on Saturday evening, and best comment will win one of those again for Monday night's show. Also, ChaseBet, our sponsor. Gonna have to bring up my little clause thing here before I do that. If you go to the link at westtigers.com.au or our profile pages, you can find a link to ChaseBet. Sign up through that link. I know a few of you have already. There's definitely a lot of the guys on the Discord as well. Send them a little message on the chat thing and say tell them that you're from the Westlife podcast, so that we sent you there. I haven't got my disclaimer. Hang on one second. Rob, any hints for Rob Stradamus this week?
Oh, look, I had a shocker last week, guys. I gave you four things. Three of them absolutely were hopeless. I think I had Knights with the start. They got flogged. I'm trying to think who the other game was that I had. They got flogged. One horse got up, and then one horse led and just got, you know, like just stood on the spot and just got stuck in the mud and came nowhere. So I only got one out of four. But, I mean, that's what happens when you put the pressure on me on Tuesday or Wednesday. So I'm just going to get... Now being so early, mate, they don't even have the lists out for all that stuff. And honestly, with the footy, I mean, there's potential for a few upsets, but it really seems to be a favourites week. It's very hard to make an argument for some big upsets there. So I just don't want to put anything out there for the sake of it, or, you know, give $1.80 or $1.90 tip again. So we'll try and find something with a bit of value.
Maybe get on the Nuggets to win the championship. There you go. There's my tip. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Yeah, I may have put a kanji on them at 5-1, so fingers crossed. Righto, the only bit of news that I could find, again, being Tuesday and be so few leaks coming out of the club these days, it's not much news or speculation to talk about with the club. The only thing I could find is they have a bus leaving Concord at, where is it, 9:30 a.m. So if you go to the Zurich Centre, leave your car there. The bus will take you to Parramatta Stadium for the Harold Matz and Lissa Fiaola, so the girls and boys playing in the grand finals there. The bus will then leave and go out to Campbelltown, take you to Campbelltown for these three games that obviously we're previewing tonight. So Flegg, Cup and First Grade are at Campbelltown. I'd say you get there probably late into the Flegg game, but yeah, get the bus and then back on the bus back to Concord. So $35 per person to take you from Concord to Parramatta to Campbelltown back to Concord. So basically half a lap of Sydney there. So yeah, a good place. You can have a few beverages and have a great day. I'm assuming you're heading out to Parramatta on Saturday to watch the girls and boys.
I'd love to, but I wasn't sure I'd be able to make it with travel and getting there and everything like that. Going here, there, and everywhere. So I think I'm probably just going to stick to watching the stream of the girls' game in particular. And then heading out to Campbelltown from there.
The New South Wales Rugby League app, I believe. But we'll talk about those games. We'll talk about First Grade first. Take us through the team lists, Mr. Statsman.
No worries. So Jareem Buller at fullback with Charlie Staines and debutant Solomon Alemalo on the wings. Brent Naden and Justin Olimer in the centres. Lachlan Galvin and Aiden Caesar in the halves, Stefano Utoikamanu and David Clemmer as props, Appy Korosau at hooker, Isaiah Papali'i is joined in the second row by Samuel Afenu, John Bateman has moved to lock, Latu Fainu, Alex Twal, Alex Seyfarth and Fanua Pole are on the bench, Justin Matamua is 18th man, with Alex Lobb, Asu Kepa'oa, Jake Simpkin and Talon De Silva in the reserves.
Just bring up Carla's comment. He said, we need a GoFundMe, you guys, and you set up. Carla, the equipment's all good. It's the users. User, it's me. It's me. That was all me. That was just my F up there. So, but appreciate it.
Junior 2-2 knock on from a kick downfield. That's all it was.
It was, yeah. Straight out of the bread basket.
I was about to say, why are you throwing us under the bus, Josh?
Yeah. Oh, you got, yeah, no, it's me. Yeah, it's all me, us, me, all me. Righto, obviously, the big one here, Rob, Solomon Alemalo on the wing. First time we will see him not in a trial. Obviously, we saw him in the trials. If you can remember that far back, Rob, what were your impressions when we saw him in the preseason games?
Oh, he's a big, strong guy, like very, very similar to Tupu, maybe a little bit smaller than him. But I'm glad we're not playing musical positions and Naden's staying in the centres and he gets his chance. Obviously, we're looking for someone that can bring the ball back out of our own end of the field. So he obviously has stronger carries than lobs. So I think that's a good selection. The interesting one for me is it hasn't worked before. We obviously have a problem with our number 13 situation, but again, we're trying John Bateman at 13, which didn't work last year. Love how he played last week, given he got moved around a fair bit. So that's the interesting one for me. Will it work? But I do like the fact that Bolle goes back to the bench because he seems to provide better impact from there. But again, I feel like we're weakening an edge to try and hope to find a way, in the middle. So hopefully Johnny has a really big game this week. But look, some people I've spoken to really like the idea and they think it's worth giving it another crack. I just think we tried it last year and it failed. So look, coaches know best and hopefully, you know, when we do our 3-2-1s on Monday night, Johnny gets a three again.
As what are your thoughts on Fainu getting a start? He's been an absolute weapon off the bench this year, but getting a go on an edge. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think he absolutely deserves a crack. I thought if he was going to get a crack, it would be in the front row, but it's very tough to unseat our two starting front rowers at the moment. But yeah, I'm really happy to see him get his first start for the Tigers and hoping he rips in and has a cracking game as well. Like, I think he featured in both Rob and myself's 3-2-1s yesterday, and he's been quite consistent all throughout the season so far. So yeah, really happy to see him get a go.
Chris was saying it's his mum's 90th birthday on Anzac Days. Happy birthday to Chris's mum. Wow. If you're out there listening, that's awesome. 90, great innings. Who else? Who next, Roberta? Who haven't we talked about yet? Johnny Bateman moving to the middle. What are your thoughts on that?
We just spoke about Johnny, Josh, as a new zone out.
I was controlling the comments. Last year, Fainu.
Yeah, but look, it's obviously the winger, the new winger coming in, Samuela Fainu on the edge, which Aaron's covered, and Johnny Bateman in the middle. Look, I think we just had a comment just come up that you put up there before, Josh, saying that, kind of agreeing with what I've said, saying Johnny Bateman's played lock before and it hasn't been successful. But look, let's just give it a chance. I mean, I think it's just more of a way to find a spot for Samuela Fainu to come in and Johnny will, you know, sort of adjust. And who knows, maybe Bolle comes on in the middle and we do a bit of a switcheroo and Bateman goes back to an edge. But it's kind of weird. Like, I was actually disappointed that Bateman's been playing on the left all year because I really, just the way he plays and the way he runs with the ball in particular, I find he's a better attacker from the right, although he did give the, you know, basically the try assist to Tupu last week. But I just feel like he's a right-sided player anyway, even when we do play him on an edge. But look, let's just see what happens with him at lock. But look, it's a solid team. It's just a matter now of whether the boys have recovered from Bathurst and if Benji can get them in the right frame of mind and hopefully put in a better performance at Campbelltown where, you know, we haven't won a game for 4 years. So it's vital that we put in a good showing, even if we don't win.
Righto, Az, take us through the Brisbane Broncos.
No worries. So some big ins for the Broncos, as we've probably all seen. So Reece Walsh is at fullback with Corey Oates and Dean Mariner on the wings. Katoni Staggs and Jesse Arthurs in the centres. Jock Madden moves to six with Adam Reynolds making his return at seven. Corey Jensen is one of the props, along with the returning Payne Haas, Billy Walters at hooker, Brendan Piakoura and Jordan Rickey in the second row with Pat Carrigan at lock, Tyson Smoothie, Xavier Willison, Kobe Hetherington and Fletcher Baker are the bench, with Tristan Saylor 18th man, Jaden Hunt, Martin Tapa'u, Jordan Pereira and Benjamin Takura are the reserves.
Rob, where do you want to start with this one? State the obvious, missing a couple of big pieces, but a very, very strong side that it's not looking good for us.
As Aaron said, when you accidentally disappeared at the start of the show, even though they've got, I mentioned they've got a couple of outs, and Aaron said they've got quite a few big ins. So obviously we've got Payne Haas coming back. We've got Adam Reynolds coming back. We've got Piakoura in the second row. And we've got Dean Mariner on the right wing. So they do have four big ins, but I really think the outs are significant because Mam and Cobbo are on that left side. Obviously, Madden, when he's played with the Broncos, he's basically been halfback. It's generally when Adam Reynolds is out. So they've both played on the right. You'd assume Adam Reynolds keeps the right. So what I'm alluding to is basically they're almost going to have a new left edge, the Broncos, this week. So I see if we're going to try and create some havoc, like we obviously created havoc down Penrith's right last week, I think we've got to attack Brisbane's left, because Piakoura is normally there, but then you're going to have Jock Madden there. You're going to have Jesse Arthurs, who's normally a winger, playing at left centre. And you're going to have old man Corey Oates on the left wing. So hopefully we can just expose the fact that they haven't played many games together with each other on that left edge. But, you know, their pack is still big and strong, and they've still got a lot of speed. The right edge doesn't change. They've still got Rickey. They've still got Stags. They've still got Mariner. So, you know, I'm sure we're going to get a lot of traffic down our left this week, especially having a new winger there. So they'll really try and expose his inexperience. But, look, I didn't expect to win this game yesterday. I actually feel really – I feel a lot better that Mam and Cobbo are out, to be honest. Like, it's got to disrupt him a bit. But how do you stop Reece Walsh? Like, Reece Walsh – what he did last week, and it was, you know, bucketing down rain in Brisbane, and he's still just, he's got that lightning speed, the quick step, and I don't know how you stop him, but we're just going to have to go set for set, get our kick chase right, try and pin him deep, try and get a fair go from the ref. I won't say fair suck at the Sav to whoever pointed that out last night. Fair go from the ref, who's Grant Atkins, which is just absolutely ridiculous. I don't expect we'll get a fair go, but if he wants to make up for his howler on Saturday, he can give us a, you know, 9-1 penalty count this week, and maybe that'll help. But look, the boys, it's just going to be hard. We've got to win, guys. I don't know how we find the win. There's a lot of people I've spoken to that are a little bit upbeat and think we can get it done. And again, where do we get our points from? You know, I'm sure the Broncos are going to score at a minimum 3 or 4 tries. So we have to be able to, at a minimum, match those 3 or 4 tries. And it's just where do we get the points from? And when I think of where do we get the points from, it's going to be created by Appy Korosau, Jareem Buller, or Lachie Galvin. They're going to be the ones creating stuff, and hopefully guys like Olam are on the end of it, and maybe Nato. Nato looked pretty sharp for his first game back last week. So, look, I'll be out there. I'm sure you guys will be out there. Win or lose, we'll just go out and support the boys and cheer them on, and just hope they put in the sorts of efforts that we've seen all year.
You said our right side, so that's Papali'i's side, isn't it? The right side?
Yeah, so our right side would be Caesar, Papa, Brent Naden, Charlie Staines, and hopefully
Papa.
Green Bullet chiming in. Look,
I reckon.
If it's a dry track, guys, and you know, they have a little bit of, you know, they make some mistakes, you know, with that sort of lack of cohesion in their defence, it could be a high-scoring game. Maybe we do find some points down that side. But, they've just got so much. They've got so much potency, Brisbane, and like we match up really well against Penrith. I think we match up well against most sides, but Brisbane, I don't think anyone matches up well against Brisbane. I looked at Canberra last week. They got a massive pack. They got speed in the backs, and they got slaughtered in the wet weather. So hopefully the Broncos take us a little bit lightly, but I'm definitely glad Cobbo and Mam are out, because it could have been a big score if they were there. Still might be, but I feel a little bit better about them being out.
As our old friend Jock Madden, he played a bit of first grade lately. What have your impressions been of him?
He hasn't been too bad. I don't think we've seen some of his best footy. Obviously, his time in first grade has been very interrupted because for the most part, he's only been playing when Adam Reynolds has been out. But this is a combination that I don't think we've seen very much of in the halves with Jock and Adam. So there's potentially a bit of rust there, a little bit of unsure what the other might be doing. But obviously, Reynolds steers the ship and his kicking game is very dangerous. So Jock only has to play off the back of that and run the support plays and things of that nature.
Righto. Stats man, have you got anything for us for this game?
I do. So you know how we like to joke around about things that can only happen to the Tigers, like we had that incident on Saturday. I've gone and seen if there's something related to our inaugural season or our inaugural game, because that's what we're commemorating this week. And I went through on that website you use, Josh, AFL Tables, and realized that the Tigers, out of the 34 teams listed there, I don't know if that's all the teams, I'm just kind of assuming that it is, but out of all of those teams, the Tigers are the only team to start their inaugural season with a draw.
There you go. I think I've mentioned it on the show before. I actually missed that game because I was at the inaugural Northern Eagles game in Gosford, and there was, it was the year 2000, so it wasn't like there was, I could watch it on my phone or had to find out the score basically afterwards. So I actually missed that. I was at, yeah.
Would have been Golden Point as well, I think, back in those days too.
No,
that only came in the mid 2000s, didn't it?
Yeah. Did we have it in 2005?
I don't think we had a Golden Point game into it. We didn't have a draw at any stage, so I can't.
Yeah, we smacked teams for the most part. So
it definitely happened. It definitely would have been there about 2006 or 7 or 8. Because I remember losing a Golden Point game to Canberra in Canberra. With, you know, the two player in the tackle thing, and someone had dropped off and Toddy Payton had got pinged for you know, allegedly stripping the ball, and Canberra won the game from that. And I went and abused the referee at the blackjack table at the casino after the game. But anyway,
like
2000, somewhere between 2006 and 2008, that there was Golden Point for sure, because that's when that game happened. But yeah.
I just found it, Rob, 2003.
Was it three, was it? So it's before
The NRL introduced the Golden Point rule in 2003, where a match goes into extra time if scores are level at the end of regular time.
It's been
I thought you were talking about the Canberra game. So it came in 2003.
I think I found interesting when I did, obviously, I got the previous games up on the screen, is we don't play them twice a year very often. So 2013, 20, I have to go all the way back to 2013, we played them twice, and only in 2005 was a semi, so we only played them once in the regular season. 2004, 2003, 2006. So we had 2, 3, 4. We played them twice. That's when they were the best fucking team in the, one of the best teams in the world. They were pretty dominant. I guess I was tapering off a little bit. It was the late 90s, early 2000s. The Broncos. I mean, 2006 they won the comp as well, I guess. But
they put a number on us in Brisbane the year we won the comp. I think they might have been up something like 40-6 at one stage before we got three late tries. So
40-12, must have been not long before we went on our run, because that was round 15. So we got them back in the semi. Suck shit.
I honestly think we don't play many of the Queensland teams twice a year on a regular basis. I think the only team that we play a lot twice a year is the Cowboys. And I don't think if we played the grand final against them back in 05, if we played it against, like, say, the Eels, that we'd be playing the Cowboys twice a year. I think it's only because of that grand final, really. And yeah, we tend to not get too many double matchups against the Queensland teams. And more often than not, we tend to get the Broncos away. So it's a bit of a change having them at home. I think the last time we had the Broncos at home would have been that 2018.
COVID 2020
when we beat them 48-0.
Yeah. So you're right there. So Leichhardt 2020, Campbelltown 2018, and they have to go all the way back to 2014 at Campbelltown. So yeah, it's obviously they don't make the Broncos play against us. They're the Thurston theory, where Thurston never beat us in Sydney once. So there you go. I can't say I'm sad about it. It's always tough playing against the Broncos. It's always been tough playing against the Broncos. So Rob Shadamas this week, kind of touched on it earlier in the show. We're a little bit early. We'll put something up on the socials this week. But I just thought on top of my head, I mentioned a little bit, you're saying the right edge. I reckon it's Papali's time to get a try, possibly. And you also got Naden out there. So maybe a pass to Charlie Staines will stick as well.
Staines would be the big one. I think he's got a fair bit of pace and he could, you know, certainly outrun Oates if we can turn him around with a kick or something. So, yeah, it could be Papali too. I'm sure we're going to try and do that move where Lachie Galvin puts a grubber kick for Olam like we did against Parramatta. I think you'll find we'll try that a lot, as will Brisbane. Brisbane have done that against us and it's worked before as well.
I just remembered I flew up for our Broncos game last year and that was traumatising. What's that song that they play every time?
That was the day I moved to Sydney.
Was it? There you go. Righto, time for our tips. Let's do the rest of the round. So first game of the week, which is Anzac Day, is the Wars. I'm just going to bring up the Chase Bet odds here, see what we've got for these games odds-wise, but we've all gone the Wars as.
Yeah, it's tough to see the I think the Warriors are going to really look to bounce back from what was a pretty poor showing against the Dragons in Wollongong last weekend. And the Titans, they're desperate. Everyone knows they're desperate. So I think this one's going to be a lot closer than people expect. But the Warriors get to finally host a Anzac Day game. I hear they've got a very big and very long ceremony in commemoration planned. And I think their team will lift and get the job done.
Anything to add on this game? Rob, the Titans. We want the Titans to stay at the bottom of the table. So we can't really want the Wales to get it done.
Oh, definitely. Look, I mean, obviously the Titans are playing better now. They lost the Golden Point game to Canberra and just went down in a high-scoring game to Manly. So they're playing pretty well. The Knights, I think the Warriors, I'm probably in the minority here. I don't think they've been good all year. They haven't found last year's form. They've been winning games and they've grinded games out, but they were awful last week after getting off to a great start. So I'd expect New Zealand to bounce back, but again, it's no certainty, and the Titans are desperate.
Tom Smith said on Facebook, bring back the Australia beat New Zealand Anzac Day. I don't know. The Dragons, that'll take us into the next game, the Dragons-Roosters game. The Dragons-Roosters at the SFS might be my favourite game of the regular season. That's not a Tigers game. Like, I love that tradition of those two clubs. The AFL have, is it Essendon Collingwood?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. I quite like the traditional Anzac game. Two old traditional Sydney clubs playing against each other. They're always really good games. I've been to quite a few of them back in the day. Remember like Matthew Head kicking a winning sideline conversion from memory back in the day.
Super try or something.
Yeah, they're always good contests. Nice to see those two teams beat the shit out of each other on a Anzac Day after a bit of two-up and a schooner at the RSL. I don't know. It's just Anzac Day. It's one of those days that obviously it's a somber occasion, but also one that I it makes you proud to be an Australian. So with our sport and paying tribute to the fallen soldiers. So I don't know, Australia v New Zealand on Anzac Day, when the whole thing's about us being Australia and New Zealand Army Corps, for those who don't know what Anzac stands for. Like, it's literally us and them together in the trenches, and you want us to play against each other. I don't know. What do you guys reckon? Do you prefer back in the day when we had the Anzac test, or do you like the Anzac matchups as?
No. Oh, sorry.
I'm happy with either. I feel like the mateship really comes to the front in footy in regards to like the end of the game. Obviously, you often see players on opposition teams having a chat, shaking hands, joking around together. after a game, and that could work from that point of view in the international game. But I do like the traditional games. Obviously, the Storm and the Warriors has been a really good one for the last few years. Unfortunately, it's been a bit lopsided. Roosters and Dragons, like you mentioned, Josh, is always a bit of a good game. I've had a few memories of some of those games in recent years. I think there was one that went to Golden Point, maybe with a Mitchell Pearce field goal. There was also one in, I think it might have been 2016 or 17, or maybe 15, that was played in an absolute downpour.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they stopped the game. Yeah,
they had to stop the game because there was lightning and thunder and everything, and it was pretty intense. And then they came out and the field was almost a swimming pool. So there's been some really good clashes in both. And I do like the idea of the Australia-New Zealand game, but I'm happy with what we've currently got.
It was funny. I know exactly where I watched that game. I was at a, glamping, staying in a cabin in Hartley. You probably know where that is. I was. I had to walk down to watch it on a tiny little TV in the common room of the campsite. I was sitting there watching myself, and obviously being past the mountains, it was from memory. It was sunny. And I look at the game, and literally, yeah, Sydney had a torrential downpour. That was crazy. That's the only game I can remember stopping, a rugby league game stopping. I cannot, off the top of my head, think of another time that a game, like West Tigers played in the snow. So
that was crazy. Remember what year it was, but I think the Titans and the Sharks played in a game up on the Gold Coast or at Cronulla that they dubbed Sharknado because of the conditions that they played in, and there was footage of a, like, on the TV of a guy in scuba gear, and like that was a torrential downpour where half the field was covered in water, and they still kept that game going.
Joshua, shouts to Josh on Facebook, say great story, Josh. It was a shit story, I know. Thanks, thanks, man. As I was telling it, I was like, how am I going to end this? How am I going to add some spice to this? It was a shit story. I'm sorry.
Do we know why the New Zealand and Melbourne game has been abandoned from Anzac Day?
Yeah, so the Warriors wanted to host it for a change, but Storm didn't want to give up their hosting rights. So the NRL have basically decided to try and keep both parties happy by giving the Warriors a home game and letting the Storm continue their tradition of hosting a game on Anzac Night, this time against the Rabbits.
Okay. No,
they're always difficult, the Storm. Anyway, this game, I'm going Dragons. I'm going upset. I reckon, I don't know, the Dragons, maybe because they smacked us, they scarred me a little bit, but I don't know. I reckon they're playing well at the moment. And this game, like we've talked about, is always a tough contest. I'm going the upset in this one. I'm going Dragons. Rob, you're going Chookies?
Oh, look, I've picked the Chookies, but, you know, you said you love these Anzac Day games. I'm actually really looking forward to this game because the Roosters always, you know, show up, and the Dragons are playing great football. And just, you know, from a West Tigers point of view, it just shows you, like, you can turn your season around really quickly. Like, you know, the Saints were up by nearly 20 points against the Cowboys 3 or 4 weeks ago and got pumped by the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are looking awful at the moment. So it just doesn't take long to go up or down in rugby league. So hopefully that's a good thing for the Tigers. But, yeah, Saints. That was one of the best defensive performances I've seen all year from any team last week against the Warriors. So should be a cracking game. Both teams hate each other. Both fan bases hate each other. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
So the Storm game, we're all going for the Storms in this one.
Pretty confident. The Rabbits have a couple of players coming back, but it's really hard to see them doing too much to this Melbourne outfit, who've been in pretty solid form since their bye. They know how to grind out wins. They know how to thrash teams, and they can score a lot of points. And I just don't see the Bunnies coming quite close enough to that just yet. They'll get a few more troops back over the next few weeks, and they might just start looking a little bit better. But for now, I think the Storm at home and the Storm's record against the Rabbits at Amy Park is absolutely bonkers. So, yeah, sticking with the Storm in this one.
Yeah, 475, 2.5 start, Rob.
It's bloody good odds for South, because one thing South can do is they can score points. And I know the Storm can rack up a number, but they haven't this year. They're winning all their games in lowish sort of scores, 18-12 last week. I think the you know, Xavier Coathanger that he scored the other week on full time. That was only about 20-something, 22 or 24 points. So, if you know, South have got a decent team. They've bought, recalled Cook. They've put Mamazoulas back to the bench. Jai Arrow makes a comeback. So, they're desperate. They're playing for their coach. I'm with Aaron. Like, I still can't tip against the Storm, but this might be a surprising one.
We've all gone Manly up against the Parramatta Eels. Not that I'm sad about it, but the poor Parramatta Eels are struggling right now, Rob.
Yeah, look, they are struggling. They don't have a halfback. I mean, they've named Ethan Sanders this week at 5'8". I'm sure he'll really be the 7 and Dylan Brown will be the 6. But I'm not going to take any, like, I'm not looking at that Northern Territory game. It was 35 degrees at night last week in the Northern Territory. I thought the Dolphins were going to melt. It turned out to be Parramatta that melted. They recover. They'll put in a good showing, but I think Manly just have too much attack. But, you know, Manly weren't impressive. Like, they've leaked 30-odd points to the team coming last in the Titans last week. So, I don't know. Like, you'd have to say Manly, but again, Parramatta are too good a team to just be down for so long. So,
Nine and a half start. It's pretty. Yeah, I think it'll be a close.
They've got two of Origin props. Like, you look at their pack. They've got Junior Paolo, Ryan Kent, Regal, Gillard. They've got good second rowers. You know, I don't know. They've got a reasonably decent team. Their back line's a bit thin. They got Gutho on old knees. But look, they could fluke an upset, but I think Manly's just might have too many points for power.
Unfortunately, we've all. Sorry, as do you have anything to add on Manly?
Not too much. I'm expecting Parra to bounce back, but I just don't think it's going to be enough against what Manly have shown recently, particularly at home. We obviously saw what they did to the Panthers a few weeks ago at home, and yeah, I'm expecting them to put a bit more pain on Parra.
Unfortunately, we're all going. Not unfortunately, I mean, it doesn't matter. Look, we all want the Tigers to win, but we're all tipping the Broncos. It's going to be very, very tough. I don't think too many people will hate us for tipping the Broncos this week. I just realized the Doggies have the bye this week and we've got them next week. We keep following the bye. What the F's going on with the draw this year?
That was Parra last year.
Yeah, like kind of. Anyway, I don't know if you realized as looking at the draw, we previewed the draw. I didn't realize we were following the bye so much this year.
No, that's not something I really paid attention to, but probably for next year's draw release, I'll actually do that and see how many times we play opponents after a bye. But yeah, it's a bit of an unfortunate one. Although in saying that, a lot of the time teams have come back from byes this year looking a little bit.
You said that last week.
Slack, yeah. And we started good. They got good, the Panthers, but we started good. And obviously we'll talk more about that when it comes to previewing the Bulldogs next week, but you never know.
Yeah. $4.20 the Broncos on Chase Bet. 13.5 start, Rob. Do you reckon we can keep it 1-12?
$4.20, you mean we're $4.20, not the Broncos.
Us against the Broncos, sorry. Look,
I mean, I don't know. I think it's just really hard to keep backing up after losses. And I think we put a lot into that game. I don't know. It depends how our Depidon goes. Depends how Samuela goes on the right edge. Depends how Bateman goes in the middle. But I think it actually helps that it is a home game. I know it's Campbelltown. We haven't had much luck there. But I think they'll feel obliged to get up. And it's a real test for Benji to see what he can do with the squad and see if he can keep them motivated.
Papa's 5.50 for an anytime try scorer. Ooh, might have a crack at that on Saturday. Anything to add on Tigers Broncos? We've obviously talked a lot about it, Az.
Yeah, I decided I was going to go for the Broncos when I saw all the ins. Obviously, Payne Haas is their engine room leader, and Adam Reynolds, you know how devastating his kicking game can be. I can't remember which game it was, but he put an absolute masterclass with the kicking. It might have been the derby against the Cowboys. But yeah, they're a very dangerous team. A lot to play for them. They've only just managed to find their way back into the eight, and they should be too good for us if there are any chance of getting back to the grand final, which they want to. They should they should be too good for us. But yeah, it's tough to see us getting the win. Obviously, I hope we can score a few more points than we did last week and keep it competitive and keep it close. But yeah, I feel like I have to tip the Broncos for this one.
Dougie on the YouTube stream said he attended the Keith Barnes funeral today. Rest in peace, Golden Boots. Rob, you obviously knew Barnes pretty well, but you attended today.
Josh, you there?
Can you hear me?
Is that me, Aaron?
No, yeah, I could hear it too.
Yeah, sorry, I just missed your sentence. I assume you mentioned something about, yeah, the funeral was today. The wake was at the SCG. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend. I had a medical appointment that I'd been waiting on 6 weeks that I couldn't get out of, which was ridiculous. I got a reminder about it yesterday. So, yeah, I'm sure there would have been a big turnout. I know there was a live stream on Facebook of the funeral today, but again, because I was at this medical thing, I couldn't watch it. But I'm going to try and see if any of the news channels have covered that funeral at all today, because I haven't seen anything about it since I got home tonight.
Yeah, I think my internet's playing up a little bit. Can you hear me now? Okay, boys.
Yeah, we're going to...
yeah, not sure what's going on with the internet. As is tradition,
Carla up on her offer.
Yeah, buy me a new router, Carla. As the Panthers, we're all going the Panthers in against. Wait,
the Cowboys.
My internet's slow. Yeah, Cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah. Up in Townsville.
Yeah, this was a tough one. Cowboys in Townsville. It was tough to bet against them, but Cleary is back, isn't he, this week?
Yeah, he is, and Dylan Edwards is backing up after not finishing the game against us, so he should be all right to go. This was still a bit of a tricky one because the Panthers did actually lose to the Cowboys in Townsville last year in a very thrilling Golden Point game. I can't remember if it was Origin period or not, but yeah, really, really tough game to tip. I still feel like the Panthers should be too good for them. Honestly, it's really hard to go against many of the favorites this week, and you'd expect the Panthers to account for the Cowboys up there. The Cowboys, I mean, they can score points, but their defense has been garbage, and the Panthers will want to fix up their attacking showing from what they did against us and really put some pain on the Cowboys.
Rob, anything to add in that game?
No, not really. I'll just add that Taylan May is back also this week. But again, we're doing this show on Tuesday night. Does Cleary actually end up playing? Because, you know, that every week it seems to get delayed another week. So if Cleary's out, then I'd give the Cowboys a chance. But like Aaron said, they're not showing up. They're not showing up mentally, physically. They're not up to the challenge. And it's funny. Like, I heard Toddy Payton's press conference last week, and he was asked about changes, and he said he was going to make plenty of changes. He looked at the team, he's hardly made a change. I think he's changed maybe the front rower or something like that. So, yeah, he's pretty much named a near same lineup to the one that got pumped by Cronulla. So if they don't show up this week, there will be heads rolling next week.
We've all won the Finns at home against the Knights. Again, I think this is a tough one, although Ponga is out for a while. So, yeah, no Ponga. Yeah, I think Dolphins in this one, as.
Yeah, it's very hard to see much happening for the Knights without Ponga. He's basically the barometer of their team. Such a big leader. Obviously, they've got players like Jacko Hastings there who can still do a job and steady the ship. But yeah, it's really tough when that main focus point of your attack and the attacking threat of the team is out injured. And it's such a long-term injury as well for a fullback. And yeah, it's really hard to see the Knights doing too much of anything without him. And unfortunately, I think it probably spells the end of their chances at finals.
He'll be up then, still, won't he?
Sorry, we didn't quite catch what you said there, Josh. Yeah, we only caught the last like five words or so.
As is tradition. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's still cutting out a little bit, but I'll jump in, Josh, while you sort that out. Look, obviously, Kalyn Ponga being out is huge. I think the Dolphins will win, but I actually think this will be a really tight game. The Knights have got a new guy in there called David Armstrong playing fullback. I don't know anything about him, but they've finally settled on Jacko Hastings and Gamble to be their halves combination. And if they don't fire this week, I mean, you know, their coach is going to be under pressure again, even though they've only extended his contract last year. So the Dolphins normally don't blow teams away. I think last week was an exception because of the heat and just the way Parramatta capitulated themselves. So I think this will be a tight game and could go either way. But yeah, again, you have to tip the Dolphins, given that they won and the Knights, you know, lost heavily to the Canterbury Bulldogs last week.
I think I've got it sorted, boys. Am I sounding better now?
Yeah, there's pretty a little good, bit of a tank there.
Righto, last game, Sharkies and Raiders. We all tip Sharkies in this one, Rob.
Yeah, obviously Cronulla are playing great. I mean, they've had to drop Braden Trindle after his DUI incident and the potential cocaine incident, but also Canberra have lost Jamal Fogarty for 12 weeks, so they're boarding KO Weeks to play halfback. Most of the rest of their team is pretty settled, although I know they have got a new second rower, Canberra, whose name escapes me. But yeah, look, hard to go past Cronulla. But, you know, Canberra always show up at home. So again, I don't think this will be a one-way thrashing. I think it'll be a tight game. You know, Canberra will fire early, but you'd think Cronulla's just got a little bit too much class and points in them.
Being in Canberra, I was very tempted to take Canberra. I was thinking I was this close to tipping Canberra. So if Canberra win, I'll be a bit annoyed because I literally had my finger on the button ready to tip Canberra because, as I always say, if in a bit of doubt, I go home game. So, has anything to add on this one?
Yeah, not too much to add. I honestly feel like, other than potentially the Dragons, this is the closest game to an upset being possible, but Sharks should be too good. Just on the Sharks, I know I'm not a massive fan of them, but I just want to mention, obviously, with the retirement of Dale Finucane today.
Yes, well done.
A massive loss to the game. One of those good guys that no matter who he played for, you always wanted to support them. A shame he's had to retire early due to concussion, but I do hope he has a great retirement and succeeds in whatever he decides to do next.
Righto, on to New South Wales Cup. So, as I mentioned at the top, when we're talking about the West Tigers bus coming, leaving Concord, the New South Wales Cup and Jersey Flegg will be before first grade. So, New South Wales Cup are at 3 o'clock. They're playing the Bears. As I feel like we played the Bears a couple of weeks ago when we...
We did. At North Sydney, yeah.
Yeah, that's come around quick.
Solomona got off those two charges.
Yeah. Playing the Bears again.
Destroyed by what's his name, Fitzgibbon.
Just looking at the team list. Yeah, it's as you said last night's show, Rob. The loss, big loss of the Panthers, with so many players playing. Like returning the first grade and players going down to New South Wales Cup. Like on paper, we've got plenty of talent there. So we'll see if they can do something against the Bears. But, yeah, they did get smacked. At least they'd have to play against big Nelson Solomona, yeah, like they did last time. So I'm sure Alan Fitzgibbon, former Magpie, will be keen to score meat pies against us, though. Jersey Flegg is at 1:20 at Campbelltown. So, yeah, three games back-to-back-to-back. How good, Rob?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm actually going to try and get out early this week and catch all the games. So, you know, that's how I was brought up as a kid, seeing a couple of games. I'd like to see that happen more regularly instead of just being a one-off. But I'm not sure what the fixtures are like for the rest of the year. Maybe we can go into it next week with Aaron. But it'd be good to have a couple of games before every first grade game. At least you get some value for money and you get to know what other players in the club play like and look like. I'm not really a fan of watching live streams of lower grades at home, you know, so it'd just be nice to get out there and enjoy the atmosphere and cheer the team on.
What always blows me away, looking at that old footage of back in the under, it was under 21s, wasn't it, back in the day?
Under 23s or third grade.
23s, wow, okay. But your number system, so the numbers would run into the next game, so your second graders would be basically 18, 19, 20. So they all have big double digits on the back. So it's just, as a long-time campaigner of pick your own number, I like that helps my argument, because you can watch those games and they weren't wearing 1 to 17. So because you always see jerseys pop up for sale and they have like a big, massive double-digit number on them. It's just pretty cool. So
they keep that jersey if they came into play first grade as well. So they'd actually have like that same number. So you knew exactly who it was if it was. Yeah, but as you said, like obviously the numbering system changed with the props, but, you know, back in the day, like the prop for, you know, third grade would be like number 39 or whatever it was, you know. So, yeah, it was just crazy how large the numbers were.
So did you keep your own number the whole season? Like in
not the whole season, but for the day. So, like,
right.
I'm just referring to the big league, which was kind of the official program back then, and you'd have your reserve grade or your third grade or under 23s, whatever you prefer to call it. And you used to have to play in reserve grade at least half a game to be eligible to be on the bench for first grade. So you actually didn't know who the bench was going to be sometimes, but you know, you had obviously, you know, a few different people to choose from, but yeah, you kind of, it actually just made reserve grade really interesting as well. So yeah, it was good. And you got to know every player and you got to see what their form was like and who deserved to be promoted and who didn't. And, you know, back in the day, like you had some great names in reserve grade as well. And players didn't sort of just go and retire like they do now. They'd finish off their career in reserve grade. And, you know, I'm going back to legends like Arthur Beetson, who finished off in reserve grade for Parramatta. So you look at the old reserve grade lists from the big league and you just think, wow, there were some great players there.
Interesting. Good little hit. Talk about the past. Let's talk about the future. The Lisa Fiaola and Harold Matz boys, as we mentioned. So 10:30 at Parramatta, CommBank Stadium, whatever it's called, at Parramatta. 10:30 a.m. for the girls on the Doggies and the Magpies taking on the Waz in the Harold Matz. So as we mentioned on last night's show, as the Doggies were the minor premiers in Lisa Fiaola.
Yeah, they were. They won all 8 of their games by an average margin of, I think it was 52 plus points. So they were knocking off all comers. They were absolutely demolishing everyone. They had a much closer win against the Knights in the semi. But yeah, they are a very tough and dangerous team. My plan is to watch the stream of this one at home and then make my way down to Campbelltown so I can see 3 grades of footy at Campbelltown and make a day of it.
Beautiful. And the Harold Matz Magpies are at midday after the girls. So it's possible to, but they're doing it on the bus. So it's possible to go to Parramatta in the morning and then head out to Campbelltown in the afternoon. What a Saturday of West Tigers footy. Patreon time. I'm going to have to turn my camera.
Do you want me to do the reading if you're having
audio difficulties? You're the star of the show tonight, as I've been absolutely rubbish. So if you can bring up the Discord, see what the guys have got. I haven't got my phone active at the moment. So patreon.com/westlife if you want to support the show and join us in the Discord as well. That's been popping off today, chatting NBA this afternoon. Was fun. The guys talk Premier League in the morning. I always see there's a soccer channel as well, all sorts of fun things going on. Obviously during the West Tigers game, it's like Twitter but without dickheads, essentially. Go ahead, Az.
All right, so yesterday we had from Big Red Fan Club, aka Riff Raff, going to call it early, got a feeling about this week, celebrating our first match. There will be plenty of the old boys around that Benji has been trying to build around. Cambo should have a good crowd. Broncos will be cocky. May not win, but I got a feeling we'll be in it. And I do agree with Riff Raff. I do hope we get a nice big crowd out of Campbelltown again. Support the boys. Support all 3 grades if you can make it. Shane Coet from yesterday as well said, I hope we still get a decent crowd at Cambo this week. The boys deserve it. The season isn't over by any means. Penrith didn't smash us and neither will Brisbane. Let's pump back up. And new entrant, who joined the Discord yesterday, Craig Aquilina.
Welcome, today Craig.
Posted, our bench looks better than the Drongos, but will be interesting to see how our starting forwards fare, especially with the changes. If we can shut down Walsh and kick to the corners early, we may have a slim chance of not getting smoked.
The word Drongo, Rob, I keep going to you for history lessons. Did Australians ever actually use that word? Because definitely grew up in the 90s, we never used it. There's plenty of words that we use in the 90s, Australian words that aren't really around anymore. Was it actually something people said back in the day?
Like not my era, but when I was a kid, I heard people of my parents' age.
Yeah, Drongo.
Yeah, you Drongo.
A big one.
It's like an Aussie bogan one now, isn't it? The Drongo.
I just thought it was an Aussie, like it was just something that the Americans made up that we said. So we did actually. It was actually a thing.
Pretty common,
a big one. From growing up in the 90s, a big one especially my mum would use, was calling Andrew Eddinghausen a spunk. Oh, he's such a spunk. That's gone away.
It extended to spunk bubble for a while, but yeah.
Spunk bubble.
I've never heard of that.
That sounds a bit wrong now.
Just telling me what some words were.
Yeah, and probably some words that should be left in the past as well. Enough of the past. Let's talk about the future. So on Monday, 8:30 p.m., back to normal broadcasting next week, hopefully reviewing a win for the boys over the Broncos. But look, we'll see. We'll see you out at Campbelltown. Come say g'day if you do see us there. Last time we were at Campbelltown, plenty of people had a chat with us. It was awesome. So really, it's awesome going to home games and people coming up and saying they love the show. So come say g'day if you do see us. Anything to add before we say goodnight to Big Dog boys?
No, not at all. Just looking forward to the game, win or lose, and watch those games pre first grade and probably head next door to the club afterwards post game. So looking forward to a big day out there.
As bring us home.
Just echoing Rob there. Looking forward to hopefully seeing a good performance. Just like we want to keep seeing the team putting in and not getting blown out. And we've been pretty good at that so far this year. Big test, obviously, against a heavily favoured Broncos team who, with some returning players, just want to see the same from the boys. And hopefully this time Monday night, we're still live reviewing a win.
Righto, thank you to everyone tuning in tonight, tuning in live on a Tuesday night. We'll be back to Monday, Wednesday next week for normal broadcasting. Really appreciate all of you listening in live or on the audio outlets. And please, if you are watching on YouTube, give us a like and a subscribe if you haven't already for this episode. We've made it in under an hour tonight, so nice express episode. And as always, boys, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Westlife Podcast. Please follow us at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter and facebook.com/Westlife Pod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/Westlife and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the Westlife Podcast.